24. The Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want to talk to you tonight on this subject. There is a friend. The concept of friendship, the truth of friendship is strong in the book of Proverbs. The word friend is used numerous times. I didn't finish counting exactly how many times it's actually used in the book of Proverbs, but it's used a number of times. For example, Proverbs 17 and verse 17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 19:4 says, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Proverbs 19:6 says, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Chapter 22, verse 11, he that loveth pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Verse 6 of chapter 27, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Verse 9 of 27, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Verse 10 says, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. And that's just a number of references where the word friend is used in the book of Proverbs. And if we were to study out these verses throughout Proverbs, we would really find that there are two kinds of, quote, friends that are mentioned. There's the, quote, friend who exists because you have something to offer them. But there's also a friend who exists due only because of genuine love and genuine care. And you and I, we could amass as many friends of the first type as we would want, and we would still come to ruin in life. But you know, there's something special about just even one friend of the second kind, the kind that exists because of real, genuine love. There's something very special about it, and it's great advantage to the soul to have a real friend. Of course, in our era of social media, it promotes all kinds of superficial type connections that are called friends, right? But there are few true friends. And so I want to talk to you tonight about this subject, true friends, there is a friend. And a genuine, authentic friend is somebody, according to this verse, who sticks closer than a brother. In other words, that friend is the kind that can be counted on, he or she. The friend, that kind, is steadfast. He or she is there, can be counted on, will be there for you, even more so than a family member sometimes. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And brotherhood is one of the strongest relationships that we know. A friend who sticks closer than a brother is a trustworthy friend indeed, and how much more precious when brothers are best friends too. Amen? A wonderful biblical example of this kind of friend, this closer than a brother type friend, is the friendship that existed between David and Jonathan. If you'll recall, and we won't take the time to study it all out, but you'll recall that they became fast friends following the battle in which David killed Goliath. Over the years, despite the hardships that both of them faced, and there were many, they both remained faithful to one another as friends. And what they did was they protected one another from harm. That's what real love and genuine friendship will do. It will always protect from harm. Jonathan even risked his own life interceding for David before his father when King Saul wanted to kill David. And it was after Jonathan had died that David wrote a lament for his friend Jonathan. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Look at verse 25. The Bible says, "How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women." Their friendship, the friendship between Jonathan and David, David's friendship with Jonathan, it was stronger than any relationship that he had with his own brothers. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That word stick or sticketh, it means to adhere. It means to cleave. And we'll talk about some of that in just a little bit. But we find that this is an example of this kind of friendship, this closer than a brother friendship between David and Jonathan. Jesus, of course, is known as a friend of sinners in Luke chapter 7 and verse 34. Jesus called his disciples friends. Jesus promised, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee," in Hebrews chapter 13. And we'll talk about this some more too, but Jesus Christ is truly the friend who sticks closer than a brother. And blessed are all of those who have Jesus Christ as their friend. Amen. So I want to look at this passage here, or just this verse, and we're going to look at some characteristics or some marks of a true friend. But let's define friendship first. Friendship is a deep, this is the kind of friend that Proverbs 18 is talking about. It's a deep interpersonal relationship between two people that is characterized by trust, honesty, communication, caring, and intimacy. It's a deep bond, in other words. And the type of friendship that is being described, there's actually two in this verse. If you go back to Proverbs 18 there, the word friend is used a couple of times, but it's not the same word in Hebrew. It's two different words, and it means two different things. Verse 24, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly," and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Again, there's two Hebrew words here that is translated as friend. The first one is ria, and it basically carries the idea of an associate or a neighbor or a friendly kind of relationship. In order to have those kinds of friends, you need to be friendly yourself. A man that would have friends must show himself friendly. You can't be continually rude or snarky or grouchy all the time with people and expect to have friends. How come I don't have any friends? Well, maybe you better check your attitude. I don't know. But if a man would have friends, he must show himself friendly. But the second is the word ahab, and it means, and it comes from a root word meaning to have a deep, deep affection for. And so the first word deals with a neighborly kind of relationship, whereas the second one involves affection. It involves a deep bond. It involves a very loving, caring relationship. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And you know that we have a need for friendship. No matter what some personalities might portray, a sign on their forehead, "Leave me alone." You know, we need friends. We're actually built that way. God made us that way. And deep, this is why, you know what, this is part of the reason why deep, close friends are actually very rare. But they are extremely important. We're created to be interdependent upon each other, and friendship is a means whereby that need is fulfilled and achieved, that interdependence. And the connection that we experience in friendship, it provides all kinds of needed strength that we don't have on our own. Solomon said it this way. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9. He says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Woe to him that is alone when he falls. There's strength that we find in friendships that we don't have on our own. Yeah, sure, there's some personalities that are more maybe independent. There's some personalities that, you know, if they had their way, they would just be a hermit. But I don't really believe that that's how God intends for us to live. God intends and has created something in us because God is love and God is a friend. He's the epitome of friendship, and we're created in His image. There's a need there for friends. And so I want to just talk with you for a few minutes here tonight about marks of a true friend. What makes a good friend? And use some references in Proverbs regarding this word friend. What is and what characterizes a true friend? The first, if you go with me to Proverbs 27, verse 6, we find that a real friend is one who gives good counsel. A real friend is going to give good counsel. In Proverbs 27, in verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. If you look at verse 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. These two words go together, and they really take on one side of the coin and the other. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but also is the sweetness of the hearty counsel of a friend. A good friend, you know what, is somebody who's not just a flatterer. Did you know that? When people flatter you, that's not necessarily a mark of friendship. Now, there can be some flattery, I suppose, in a friendship, but a true friend is not just a flatterer. A true friend tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. Does that make sense? They tell you what you need to hear and not necessarily what you want to hear. And you know what? Not having a friend in your life that will tell you the truth about yourself is a sad thing, because you get the wrong impression of you. You need that. It's like getting up in the morning and not looking in the mirror. You have no idea what you actually look like. But a real friend will tell you what you need and not necessarily what you want to hear. You know what? There's no reflection of your true self without a real friend who's going to give you the right kind of counsel. Faithful are the wounds of a friend sometimes. Sometimes we need to be told things that we don't necessarily want to hear. But you know what? Often our friends will know what's best for us. More than we know what's best for ourselves. For example, you know what? Nobody should ever wear tight, tight shorts with their muffin tops hanging out. Nobody should do that. And everybody needs a friend to tell you that does not look good on you. Now, that's a lame maybe joke, but it's true. A true friend has your overall well-being in mind more than just maybe a temporary crushed ego, if you will. In chapter 27, in verse 19, look at it here. As in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. Listen, you see your reflection in water sometimes. It's like a mirror. So do the hearts of men. They reflect each other. And we need a good friend who's going to give us the right kind of counsel. Sometimes it's wounds. Sometimes it's what we need to hear. Other times, it's encouragement and it's sweet. But a real friend is not somebody who's just going to flatter you. C.H. Spurgeon said this, "Fawning hypocrites insidious flatterers, are the sweepings and offal of friendship. They are but the parasites upon the noble tree. But true friends put enough trust in you to tell you openly of your faults. Give me for a friend the man who will speak honestly of me before my face, who will not tell first one neighbor and then another, but who will come straight to my house and say, "Sir, I feel there is such and such a thing in you, which as my brother I must tell you of." That man is a true friend. He has proved himself so to be. For we never get any praise for telling people of their faults. We rather hazard their dislike. A man will sometimes thank you for it, but he does not often like you any the better. Praise is a thing we all love. I met with a man the other day who said he was impervious to flattery. I was walking with him at the time, and turning around rather sharply, I said, "At any rate, sir, you seem to have a high gift in flattering yourself, for you are really doing so in saying that you are impervious to flattery." "You cannot flatter me," he said. I replied, "I can, if I like to try, and perhaps may do so before the day is out." I found I could not flatter him directly, so I began by saying what a fine child that was of his, and he drank it in as a precious draught. And when I praised this thing and that thing that belonged to him, I could see that he was very easily flattered, not directly, but indirectly. We are all pervious to flattery. We like the soothing cordial, only it must not be labeled flattery, for we have a religious abhorrence of flattery, if it be so called. Call it by any other name, and we drink it in, even as the ox drinketh in water. That's the epitome of human nature right there. What we need is one who will tell us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. And a good friend, the kind that is true and genuine, is the kind that will not only wound us faithfully when it's necessary, but also build us up and encourage us and be sweet with the words. Another characteristic or mark of a true friend is one that sharpens the other. Proverbs 27 and verse 17 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." You know, when that iron is rubbing together, so to speak, it has a sharpening effect on the other one. It has a sharpening effect with saints of God as well, to make us better Christians for the overall glory of God. You know what? Real friends keep each other sharp. Real friends don't tear each other down. Real friends, by their influence, don't drag another person down. Because they have in their overall mind the well-being of another person. I really love you. I really care for you. I want your life to be blessed and built up and strengthened because of my influence in your life. Real friends sharpen each other. We keep each other accountable. Because there's a commitment to sharpen one another, to improve their character, to improve holiness, and their dependence upon God. We see admonition in Scripture all the time regarding man's relationship, saints' relationships with one another. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, we're admonished to consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works. It means to incite to love and to good works. That's what a real friend does, sharpens one another. A real friend, by their life, by their words, they don't drag another one down. What kind of a friend are you? We all need and we all want and we all say that we have friends. What kind of a friend are you? What kind of an effect is your life having on your friend? Another mark of a friend that sticks closer than a brother is one who brings companionship. A true friend provides consistent, reliable, unchanging companionship through every one of life's circumstances through adversity and beyond. The Apostle Paul was left alone by others when things got tough in the ministry. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Paul says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Here there were others who were with Paul, and Paul said Demas had forsaken him. He had departed. Crescens had departed. Titus unto Dalmatia. Maybe some of these weren't necessarily leaving him because things were tough. But we do find that word forsaken there. If you get down to verse 16, Paul said, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." Paul was left alone by others when things got tough. And you know what? Real friends are not in fair weather only. Real friends are those who come nearest to you when you're in the most distress. They understand. They see the hurt. They feel the pain. But those are not true friends which run away when ill times come. A real friend is one who would give the right kind of counsel, one who sharpens, one who brings companionship. And fourthly, and really lastly, a real friend is one who has fidelity and loyalty. In Proverbs 17, in verse 17, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." A real friend has fidelity and loyalty and loves at all times. You know what? A real friend knows who you really are and doesn't walk away. You know that? They know the real you, that you're not perfect. As much as we would like to think we are, they know the real flaws. They know the character deficiencies. They know who you really are, and they don't walk away. They'll never use your shortcomings against you. Why? Because they love you. That's a real friend. What kind of a friend are you? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, go over there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 7, considered the love chapter, if you will, but verse 7 says, in reference to charity or in reference to love, "Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth." And then it goes on to talk about the things that would fail. And if you get down to the end of the chapter, "Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity," or love. You can't have real, genuine friendship without genuine love. And that is really what's behind a real friend knowing who you really are and not walking away. This verse 7 says that charity, it beareth all things. That word beareth, it means to roof over. It means to cover. You understand that? You like your faults and my faults? Love covereth a multitude of sins. Love beareth or covers over all things. In verse 8, love never faileth. The word faileth there, it means to drop away or to dissolve. Real genuine love doesn't fall away or drop away or dissolve when it sees what you and I really are. That's why it's genuine. Friendship like that takes time, though. That's not something that happens overnight. There was one who said this: friendship is no plant of hasty growth. Though planted in esteem's deep fixed soils, the gradual culture of kind intercourse must bring it to perfection. In other words, real lasting friendships, those aren't built overnight. It takes some time, and it takes some continual kindness in order to bring that friendship to perfection. Time is what it takes, because in order for there to be those deep bonds, there needs to be some experiences behind it. You got to go through some things with somebody. You got to go through some fires. You got to go through some trials together. You got to withstand some tempests. You got to withstand some storms. And that's, you know, in the midst of those storms and those tempests and those trials, that's when the real you and the real me comes out. That's when the real character begins to show. But a friend loves at all times. A friend beareth all things. It doesn't fall away. It doesn't drop away. It doesn't dissolve. Real friends with deep bonds, you know what? They are fiercely loyal. The word sticketh, as I said, it means to adhere. It means to cleave. You don't break that apart. Not easily. Two are better than one, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Friend loveth at all times. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And ultimately, Jesus Christ is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen? He's the kind that will never ever fail. In John chapter 15, turn over there with me. John 15 and verse 12. Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." Jesus is saying, you love each other as I have loved you, and I've called you my friends. Jesus is the friend that will always give the right kind of counsel. Amen? He's called the Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is the friend that will always be the right kind of companion. He said, "I'm never going to leave you." He also said, "I won't leave you comfortless. I will come to you." What a wonderful friend Christ is. And happy is the one who is the friend of Christ. This is another quote from C.H. Spurgeon. He said, "Friendship is true when it begins, but we must have a man's friendship long before we can say of him that he will stick closer than a brother. And how long has Christ loved you? That you cannot tell. When the ages were not born, he loved you. When this world was an infant wrapped in the swaddling clothes of mist, he loved you. When the old pyramids had not begun to be builded, his heart was set upon you. And ever since you've been born, he's had a strong affection for you. He looked on you in the cradle. He loved you then. He was affianced to you when you were an infant of a span long, and he has loved you ever since. Some of you I see with gray hairs. Some with heads all bald with age. He's loved you up until now. And will he now forsake you? Oh, no, my friend. His friendship is so old that it must last. It has been matured by so many tempests. It's been rooted by so many winds of trouble that it cannot but endure. It must stand. Even as the granite peaks of the mountain shall not be melted, because unlike snow, it has braved the blast and borne the heat of the burning sun. It has stood out always, catching its face every blow from the face of nature, and yet been unmoved and uninjured. It shall last, for it has lasted. But when the elements shall melt, and in a stream of dissolving fire shall run away, then shall Christ's friendship still exist. For it is of older growth than they. He must be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. For his friendship is a hoary friendship, hoary as his own head, of which it is said, his head and his hairs are white like snow, as white as wool. What an amazing image and picture created of Christ and his friendship. One that is an everlasting love and affection. Real friendship, that special kind that sticks closer than a brother, is rooted in real love, and it's also going to have the bond of Christ. Do you know that kind of friendship? What kind of a friend are you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for Christ, and that he truly is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And Lord, thank you for those very few precious souls that we can have deep bonds and affection for and with in this life, that give strength, that give courage, that sharpen, that cause us to excel and to grow and help shape and form our character and our holiness, and will always have our best in mind. And Lord, I thank you for the bond that we have in Christ as well, who is love himself. And Lord, I pray that you'd cause us to even reflect here tonight and just meditate for a little while on what kind of a person am I? What kind of a friend am I being? Do I strengthen? Do I challenge? Do I sharpen? Am I loyal? Is my life one that is building and encouraging and edifying? And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, as Christ said to his disciples, to love one another, that you might be glorified in that. Lord, that bonds may grow deeper. And Lord, ultimately, that we would encourage one another in the things of God to bring more glory to the Lord. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.